It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5, an APCO Holding Brand podcast, powered by Passion, with your host, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with Easy Care. Today, I have the pleasure of being joined on this podcast with Jerry Davis, Service Manager. Jerry, welcome to Fixed Ops 5 for the second time.
Yes, absolutely. It's a great pleasure and an honor, as always, to be on here with you and hopefully shed some light on the fixed ops world that we're in. And I look forward to sharing what little knowledge I've gained over the years, and hopefully it helps somebody.
You have a plethora of knowledge, Jerry. This episode is going to be called Revving Up Wellness, Mental Health Strategies for Service Professionals. Jerry, before we get into this episode, tell us a little bit about you. What have you been up to since the last time you've been on the podcast?
Well, I was down in Danville, Virginia, and unfortunately, I had some family stuff come up that required me to move back home to Oregon, where we grew up. And so I'm working for Lithia of Roseburg in Roseburg, Oregon, and doing a great job working at a Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram store here and making some positive changes in our department. And we went from kind of one of the worst stores in the region to, you know, we're mid-level. We're not the best just yet, but we're climbing out of the hole that Roseburg had dug for us. And, you know, we're working together and making things more positive, and had no turnover in a year. And just things are moving in the right direction. So I'm real proud and positive about the future that the store offers.
Awesome. Well, I'm sorry to hear about the family issue, but I'm sure that group is excited to have you back in your hometown and doing some great things. So I thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to talk to us about mental health, right? It's, you know, next month is Mental Health Awareness Month in the month of May. And you and I were in this mastermind group, I'll call it, called SDL. And you talked and really shed a light onto this more than just, you know, the surface stuff. You really got into the weeds of it. And you really got me thinking when we were in that that hour-long talk, listening to you talk about mental health and all that stuff. So really appreciate you, you know, getting my creative juices going. So if you're ready, let's jump right into this podcast and talk about, you know, understanding the impact that our employees that we're in charge of serving, right, go through. So can you share how mental health directly affects performance and well-being and high-pressure roles like the ones you have in the automotive service industry?
Well, it affects us greatly. You know, like many people have said, I've heard it from many people, but the fish rots at the head. So, you know, at the end of the day, if we're not mentally capable of taking care of ourselves and our, you know, we have to look at ourselves before we can look at other people and try and help them. So, you know, that's the downside to leadership. Leadership's a great thing, but if we don't take care of ourselves as leaders, we won't be able to take care of our people. And just as a discussion point today, I talked to my assistant manager, and she and I had a great discussion about how we've made some changes. Those changes haven't really worked out the way we thought, and it's actually created a negative impact on some performance of some of our advisors. And we're going to sit down and try to work through those issues. But you know, our mental acuity, if we're not on point with ourselves and on point with what we have going on in our lives, whether it's personal or work, if we don't have our house in order, it's hard for us to help other people. And so mental awareness and mental acuity of what you have going on in your personal life and professional life is huge in your ability to perform at a high level.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to have some tools as a, whether you're a service advisor, a manager, or someone in leadership at, whether you're, it's a car dealership or RV, marine, or power sports, you have to have some tools to understand, okay, I'm getting a little stressed out right now. I'm feeling down that I'm not performing the way I should be. I'm not meeting my goals that management has put out there for me. What are some tools that you do to realign yourself into and getting yourself back onto the path that you want to be on?
Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to know yourself. You have to really sit down and have an honest conversation with yourself. And I know that sounds weird, but you have to really know what your mental headspace is and really have to know what your triggers are. So as an example for myself, my triggers are, I don't ever want to let anybody down. And that just really comes from probably my dad. I never wanted to disappoint my dad because I saw what happened when he was disappointed. And so I always have this like mental picture of disappointment. And I find 9 times out of 10, I wind myself up thinking I've disappointed somebody to find out that they're not, it's not even on their radar. So I kind of set myself up for like this mental gymnastics that I go through, but I talk out, I have to know myself. I have to talk about what are my triggers, things that, you know, really set me off. And then the best way to avoid that is to let it be for a minute, walk away. Even if you got to excuse yourself from the room, if there's a conversation going on, and say, hey, I need to digest this for a minute. That, you know, there's always a way to get yourself out of that predicament to where you don't, you know, like for me, I will say something and not back down. And it's one of those things, once I say it, I feel I have to back it up. And so rather than to put myself into a corner where I have to say something I don't necessarily want to say, or I might not have the right words for it, it's definitely one of those things where I kind of kick back and just assess the situation. So, you know yourself. That's the best tool you can have, is to really ask yourself what your triggers are and why those triggers are happening.
I love that. That's a great tool to put in my tool belt as well. So I appreciate you sharing that. So identifying the signs, right? You know, that's something I've heard a lot about, and you kind of touched upon it with when we were in that SDL conversation. What are some common signs of mental health strain that managers and service advisors should be aware of in themselves and their teams?
Well, I mean, that one's kind of the best way to know that, especially again, with yourself, you have to know yourself, but your people, you have to know your people, and you have to know what kind of their triggers are. And you can tell a lot. The biggest giveaway for anybody is body language. You know, whether, you know, the big thing is, like, if you're talking to your, let's say, like, if I'm talking to my assistant manager, I can tell if she's upset. She won't look me in the eye and she won't engage in the conversation, and the answers are real short. You know, my other service advisor, he says he understands and says, I understand, I hear you, but then he doesn't follow through. So sometimes it's not the instant gratification that some of us need, that we see an issue, but it's knowing your people and knowing that body language and eye movement and how they posture themselves in the chair, how they're talking to customers, the tone of which they're talking to customers. And you almost have to kind of sit back in the weeds and watch and listen and learn, and then say, hey, come in my office for a second. What's going on? What's the problem? Oh, there's nothing wrong. No, there's something wrong. I can tell. You know, you're not engaging with the customers like you normally do. What's going on? And eventually they're like, you know what, you're right, I have this or I have that. And so again, it's watching that body language is probably the biggest giveaway for anybody. You're always thinking in your head, you're like, well, it's in their head. Well, no, your head makes you do things. And so your head makes you carry yourself a certain way. And for myself personally, I can tell when I'm in a negative headspace, when I get short with people, I don't listen. I listen to respond. I don't listen to learn. And so I know those things, and I have to, you know, every once in a while I have to be like, okay, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong headspace to be here. Take a half day, take a walk around the building, do something, but don't just let it sit there and eat at you. Because the longer you let it eat at you, then you're gonna have this big meltdown, and then you just lost everything.
Yeah. I think this really translates into being a parent as well, right?
Absolutely. 100%.
I can tell you, being a father, right? I've had conversations with my son and I didn't recognize that he was going through something. I just thought he was being, you know, a teenager, right?
Yep.
And I got mad, he got mad, and that doesn't do any good, right?
Right.
And I learned from that, and I was like, next time this happens, I'm going to say, what's going on, buddy? How can I help you, right? If I would have taken that step instead of getting angry, right, it would have been a different conversation. So I appreciate you sharing that. And I think if we all look at ourselves in the mirror, that's we've all been in that situation, whether it's a family member or a team member within where our workspace, right? So if we look go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, no matter what we do, we never want to admit our weakness. And that's the biggest thing, is nobody ever wants to say, yeah, I'm having trouble, I need your help. Nobody ever wants to ask for help, because there's such a stigma, especially when it comes to mental awareness. There's such a stigma that, oh, you're weak, you can't handle it, you're not cut out for the business. I mean, I've heard all these comments over the years of behind closed door manager meetings, of people talking about other people. And it's just discouraging when you hear all those things, but it's actually empowering to show that you have a weakness, to open up and to let it out, and to know that there are people that are having the same struggle you are. And just by talking it out, you know, 80% of our problems can be solved by conversation.
Amen to
and
that.
Not judgment. And that's the problem, is that we get into this mental state where, oh my God, okay, well, now I have a service advisor that's not mentally checked in. We have a problem. And then rather than addressing his problem, which would fix his mental check-in, we're pushing him out the door because we think there's something wrong with him. And there's just that stigma. And unfortunately, until we overcome that stigma, you know, it'll always be here, and it'll always be that cloud over at what everybody thinks and does and how they handle these situations. And until we admit that it's an okay thing to not feel great every day and not be mentally here every day. We are humans. And at the end of the day, we do need to give ourselves some slack.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I love that part too. It reminds me of our training class. We'll talk about customer service and CSI, right? Retention, all those things. You'll run into advisors that just poke and hope that they get a good survey. And to your point that you just brought up earlier, is if they just talk to the customer and listened to mm-hmm. understand where they're coming from and why they're upset, after that, they can solve the problem a little bit. The customer's been heard. They feel better. And then you re-engage saying, okay, well, now that we've talked that out, did I earn all excellence today?
Yeah.
And when you get that survey, could you do me a favor and fill that out? Right. It's almost that you're talking the same language when you're talking about customer experience and mental health. And I want to follow up with this question, Jerry, for you personally, where you're such a big advocate for this. Do you have any plans for May and what you're going to do for your teams for mental health awareness? Is there something that you have planned out?
I always take May, you know, Mental Health Awareness Month, and I really make an extra effort to spend a little bit more time in my one-on-one time with my employees, just to make sure that if there's anything I can do to help them, remind them, because sometimes we get complacent and we say it in passing, hey, my door is always open, come talk to me. It's more of that, hey, come in here for a minute, sit down, let's have a chat. And it's just that reminder of, you know, that we're all here for each other. You don't always have to talk to me, because sometimes it's hard for people to talk to me because I'm the boss, and they look at me as the boss, and they don't want to show weakness, because Jerry doesn't show weakness. I can't be weak. You know, it's one of those things where I kind of create my own monster sometimes, because I'm afraid to let my guard down. But the more I let my guard down with my people, the better they actually perform. And so, you know, spending more one-on-one time, making sure to remind them of that we're all here and we're all in the battle of life together. And that's probably going to be my biggest focus for Mental Health Awareness Month.
That's great. So looking at proactive measures other than really, and I don't want everybody to wait until May to start talking about this. This is something we should talk about, you know, every day, you know, when you do your check-ins with your team, right? But what proactive steps can the industry professionals take to manage stress and prevent burnout? Because the dealership life is very fast-paced environment, right? Whether you're in automotive, power sports, RV, or marine. So what can you do to manage that and to really be proactive with it, Jerry?
I think the one thing that just gets so easily overlooked is that we need to make it okay. That's kind of my platform to stand on. Make it okay. I've been in a situation where I felt guilty for asking for time off to go to the doctor.
Wow.
So make it okay would be my stance on that. That would be the one thing that all the leaders, the owners, the CEOs, the higher ups of the world, that would be just make it okay.
Yeah, I like that. So if we roll right into talking about how the importance is to establish a support system within the workplace, what does that do to affect, you know, to have a support system? What does that look like for mental health in our industry?
Well, if we had a support system that we made it okay to talk about, we made it okay to ask for time off, we made it okay to be weak in front of our team, I think it would just grow leaps and bounds that, you know, we're all in this together.
Yeah. Do you think that would also help with retaining that employee longer?
Absolutely. Cause then they're going to feel safe. But, you know, everybody wants to feel safe. Everybody wants to, some of the people, you know, I would say, you know, a lot of the people, especially technicians and stuff, didn't have a parent or a father figure or a mother figure. You know, some of them are from single family homes, some of them are adopted, you know, and nobody's ever had that safe space to be able to open up and not get hurt. And that's the biggest thing that mistakes as leaders we do, you know, and I'm not saying this happens everywhere, but you have an issue with an employee and you go and talk to it with the wrong person trying to get some advice. Next thing you know, in the dealership world, it's all over the whole store. That person finds out and that's the only person they've ever revealed that to. Next thing you know, that person feels alienated because they shared something intimate and private and now everybody knows about it.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jerry. I really like how you're really bringing this and tying this in, and it really resonates. And I think it's going to resonate with our listeners as well. If we look at the life that we lead, right, and we talk about, you know, technicians, if we look at technicians themselves, they're really isolated. They typically work by themselves. They grab an RO, they grab the parts and they install it, they test it, and then they bring it around front, right? If we look at the technician for a second, they need a lot more love than your other team members because they're at least interacting, especially your service advisors, they're customer facing, right?
Right. You know, most service advisors don't even want to talk. You know, most service advisors don't even want to talk about their feelings because they've just talked all day. Where your technician hasn't talked to anybody all day and they just feel out there, they're like, I guess I'll just work on another car. You know, I'll just work on another car. So, you know, technicians are probably you think of them as big, burly, strong, don't talk a lot. Well, they don't talk a lot because nobody goes and talks to them. You know, it's kind of like this double, it's just like this circle of never ending craziness. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, talking to the technicians is probably the most important thing.
Yeah. And then you have the new employee that's coming into your service drive that are getting jobs. They're mid 20s or early 20s, right? They have a different approach that you have to use with them, right? They're different from, well, you and I, I'm in my 40s, right? If you tell me, hey, Corey, we're going to change your pay plan. And if you do this, you're going to make more money. Well, I'm going to figure out how to do that. But your new employee, that doesn't speak their language. They're like, yeah, I'm just here, right? And I want to be heard. I don't care about titles, but you know, if we talk to them about, you know, if you do this, you get an extra day off, or you get some recognition, right? That speaks more volumes to them than money.
Yeah, money, you know, used to be, I'd say even as short as 5-6 years ago, money kind of was a motivating factor, but COVID changed everything. Money isn't everything, you know? And so it's more of like, how do I feel? Do I enjoy going to work? Do I want to be there? Do I like the people I work with? And it's all stuff before where like, you didn't have people like, well, I don't like that guy. I'm not going to work there. I like the money. I'm going to work there. So it's kind of like this tide has changed. I've known technicians to walk away from jobs and take a $10,000, $20,000 a year cut in pay because they didn't like the place they worked. Had nothing to do with the money. Money is not everything anymore. There's way more important things in life than money.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I'm not saying their way is wrong.
No, neither am I.
It is different, right?
Yeah, so, the tide's changed a little bit.
Let's get a little personal, Jerry, and I hope this is okay to ask this, but can you share a personal story or experience where addressing mental health made a significant difference in your professional or personal life?
Oh, absolutely. I would say probably maybe about 8 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, I worked for a dealership, and I'm not going to name the name, but I worked for a dealership. I'd worked for them for years. And it was one of those things where I was appreciated, but I didn't feel as part of the group, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And I finally got to a point where I hate to say it like this, but I stood up for myself. And the minute I stood up for myself, I saw the reaction that I got. And it was like this instant, they had a loss of control of me. And that for me was a changing tide when I realized that a lot of the mental gymnastics that people will play is to control you and not to help you. And once I realized that, that's when everything changed for me. Because then I started looking at like, okay, are they really out for themselves? Are they out for the group? Are they here to help just them make their pockets deeper? You know, and so when I go to work for a company or a small town dealership, I ask a lot of personal questions like, what's your employee turnover? Why did your last manager leave? This, that, and the other thing. And I judge their reactions, because if their reactions are all squirmy, well, that's none of your business, or this, that. I've heard all kinds of things. Well, if it ain't my business, then I ain't going to work for you, because then it's one of those things where I'm just not going to engage in you, because at the end of the day, I know where your true motivations are. So I would say for myself, that's the most freeing moment I've ever had in my life, when I realized to watch out for the mental gymnastics that people will play to control you for their better interests.
Yeah. So standing up for yourself, gave yourself a voice. It probably made you feel better, as opposed mm-hmm. to just sitting over in the corner and just taking it. Right. Right.
There was a fear factor, like, oh my God, I'm gonna lose my job and I don't have another job.
Right.
Once I got over that fear, like, no matter what happens in this world, I could get fired from here tomorrow. I'm not saying I will, but I could get fired from here tomorrow for one thing or another. That's not the end of my life. I'm still Jerry Davis, Fixed Ops leader. I'm not tied. And so my identity was tied to that dealership, not to myself. And so yeah. Once I tied my personal experiences with that dealership to myself and not tied myself to the dealership, that made a huge difference in my life.
Well, I think you said it best during that mastermind group on STL, is that if you passed away tomorrow, right, your job posting would be there before your obituary.
Absolutely. Find a place in this world that is not true. If you... whether you're a service manager, service advisor, janitor, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, because it takes time to write an obituary, it takes time to get that emotion on paper. There is no emotion in putting a job posting up.
Yeah. I mean, you weren't wrong when you said that.
Yeah. No, there's zero emotion. Like, if I got fired tomorrow, if I died on this phone call right now, yeah, the people, there'd be some sad people. I'm not saying there wouldn't be, but at the end of the day, they need a manager, and so they have to move on.
Yeah.
But we don't get to move on, and our families don't get to move on. So, you know, we need to take better care of ourselves so we can be there for the long term for our families and for our people.
I'm going to guess that when you went through that story that you talked about, I'm going to guess it helped you personally as well, right?
Oh, it did. It made a profound difference in my attitude, my outlook on life. It made an extreme, and I still carry some of those burdens with me today, and that happened 12 years ago. And so I still have some of the nervous tics and things that would set me off from those experiences with that dealership. And, to this day, I still have to fight those battles and those demons, but at least I know how to identify them now. That's the biggest key, is knowing, again, back to what I said in the beginning, it's knowing those triggers and knowing how to face them to get us over the hump of having a mental breakdown.
Yeah. And it goes back to telling yourself, you know, I'm valuable and I know my worth, right? So yeah. I love how you're tying that all together. So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about tools, right? We talk about technicians have tools, service advisors have tools. What tools or resources do you recommend service professionals look to improve their mental health or support their teams in doing so?
Well, the mental tools, you know, there are so many different facets of what mental tools are out there. For me, the biggest thing is Audible. Self-help books are huge. Kind of, again, looking within yourself, knowing what is on there. Like right now I'm listening to a book by Matthew McConaughey called Green Lights. It's a phenomenal book about, you know, life and perspective and how to look at things. So again, finding that voice that you don't have through the word of somebody else is empowering. And then you get to hear that you're not alone. So any self-help books, you know, I'm a huge proponent of doing a DISC assessment on yourself. That way you get to know what your personality traits are and how those personality traits affect how you interact with other people. That is huge. So, you know, doing a DISC assessment, reading, understanding, learning, those are all key factors. But the toolbox, I mean, Audible is a huge toolbox for me. Self-help books, if you're more of a paper person, there's a billion different self-help books. But for me, I go back to John Maxwell and Jocko Willick. And there's so many that I could list off. Believe it or not, Brene Brown is a big one of mine. I love Brene Brown. Because again, it's all about self-improvement.
Yeah, I love that.
I would say anything, any book, you can just type in Audible, self-improvement, and you'll have 10,000 choices. And listen to the sample, listen to that voice, and make sure you can tolerate listening to that for 5 hours of that person talking, so you actually take something away from it.
Nice.
Don't do things just to check a box. Do things to improve yourself. And make sure you make time for yourself away. When you leave your job, leave it at the door. There's so many times as managers, as advisors, we take our work home with us. We stress about things outside of work, this, that, and the other. And just leave it at the door, man. It'll be there tomorrow. And just take a break and then breathe and enjoy your family time while you have it.
I like that a lot. Thanks for sharing that, Jerry. So we're right up against the time, but I want to get to this future state, right? Looking ahead, how do you see the conversation around mental health evolving in our industry? And what should companies start doing now to address these future trends?
Well, I think the trend is already changing. The tide is changing for sure. There's been mental health workshops and things like that that Lithia offers. It's a great thing to see a corporation like Lithia offering these types of things. So I see that happening. And I think a lot of, you know, when you do an interview with a future employee, talking about mental health and talking about the tools that are available to them as an employee of the company, those are all key factors in everything. And so I think there's been a paradigm shift more quietly than I'd like it to be. But I think there's been a paradigm shift in a lot of corporations that understand that mental health is something to take serious, because at the end of the day, you know, I could be the best service manager in the world, but if I'm not mentally there, I'm worthless.
Okay. So now we're into the lightning round, Jerry. What are your three takeaways from this episode in your mind that a service advisor, an agent, someone at the leadership team of the dealership can take away from this episode?
All three things. One, it's okay. Develop a safe space and know yourself.
I love it. Jerry, how can people get in touch with you?
How can they find you? People can get in touch with me. I am on LinkedIn. You can get a hold of me on LinkedIn. My cell phone number, I share it with anybody. I'm not no secret guy. It's 541-260-4609. I have the same phone number for 20 years now and never going to change it. Or they can email me anytime. It's Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y, D as in dog, 772002@outlook.com. That's my personal email. You can email me anytime, any questions, anything you want. I'm an open book. And if you just email me or call me and just ask for help or someone to listen, I'll be there too for that.
Oh, I love that, Jerry. Thanks a lot for being on this episode. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their family and their friends into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. You want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Jerry, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for being a part of this special episode about mental health. And I'll ask this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely. It's an honor and a pleasure to be a part of this. I love what you guys do. I love the training that you offer. And your company has grown leaps and bounds since we've become friends. Not from my doing, but yours and your company's doing. And at the end of the day, I just love seeing where you guys are going. So I'd love to be a part of anything you guys are doing moving forward.
Thank you for listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith. Powered by Pasha, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes released on the 5th and 20th of every month.